Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Praise Yahweh. We're going to continue part two of the series, the one seed liners or two seed line, and we're going to get right into the Word of Yahweh. We're going to go again to John 8:44, and we're going to determine whether it should be taken spiritually or if we should take it literally. That Satan did have a literal genetic offspring through the woman. Praise Yahweh. Well, we're going to determine whether 8:44 is speaking of a spiritual offspring or a physical offspring or a spiritual devil or a physical devil. Now, the word of, and we're going to ask tonight the question, what part of the word of don't the one seed liners understand? We're going to give you 32 reference places in the New Testament that speaks of the same word of as we're relating to the Greek word of in 15:37. So we'll examine it and we'll get right into the message. If you have a friend, call them up and tell them that Pastor Buddy's on the air tonight. I'm going to examine the theory of the one seed liner. Did Eve produce with the same father all of the seed that you see here upon this earth? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to just genetically, and if you believe that, you are going to create the most impossible scientific reasoning upon the earth. This would be the greatest scientific miracle to believe that the genetics, pure bloodline genetics of Adam and Eve produced all of the seed that you see upon the earth without some type of a genetic infusion countered to the genetics of Adam. Now, nowhere in the Bible, I'm going to challenge all of my listeners tonight, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Adam was the father of all living. And we're going to examine the aspects of he being the father versus the fact that he's not the father of all of the seeds and all of the different breeds, kind after kind. Now we've got this hodgepodge of helter-skelter mixture of miscegenation going on in the world. And again, for the sake of the original seeds, this is no disrespect to the black race. They have their place, the purpose, and the intentions of the Almighty Yahweh. When everything was finished, he saw it was good. So then, I'm not speaking in the yellow race against these. They have a purpose here. We could discuss that later, the purposes of the black, the yellow, and these other races, the white race. And then the serpent seed race. I believe there's four different kinds of kind after kind upon the earth. You have your black race, the white race, the yellow race, and the mixed race. Now this mixed race from the garden was a mixture, I believe, of genetic seed of the offspring of Satan and the offspring of Yahweh, Adam not being able at this time to impregnate Eve because she's already pregnant when she comes to him in the garden. So we're going to discuss that those aspects, and we're going to look at the word of. Now let's go into Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. Turn there with me, Phil. Here it speaks of Phares and Sarah being of, and I want to emphasize of, Tamar. Now does that sound spiritual? Again, in Matthew 1 and 5, it says, Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Again, does that sound spiritual? In Matthew 1:18, it speaks of the child being of the Holy Ghost. Does that sound spiritual? In Matthew, if you believe that, then the Messiah himself would have been a spirit being rather than a flesh and blood. And we know he had flesh and blood. When they crucified him, out came water and blood. They laid his flesh body in a tomb for 3 days. And the difference is the power of the resurrection of the Almighty Spirit of Yahweh came back into the body, because there's three things that left that body upon the torture stake: water, blood, and spirit. The last thing to leave the body was a spirit, and the first thing to get in it when it was a time period to come back into it, a 72-hour cycle. Now, a woman has the same cycle, this incredible 7 plus 2 is 9, and 9 is the resurrectional or the building factors of, and the sperm count in the 46 chromosomes that's produced from one male. Now, 6 and 4 is 10, and that makes one being complete for these chromosomes. Now, in case a woman has fraternal twins, we're going to talk about that, identical twins or things of this nature. We're going to get over and talk about that in time to come. If we have time tonight, we'll get into it. If not, we'll hit it again tomorrow night. Now, let's go again to Mark chapter 5, verse 8. The Redeemer commanded an unclean spirit to come out of the man. Does the man from which the spirit was cast sound like a spirit being? Or was a unclean spirit lodged in the flesh and blood man? In Luke 2:36, it speaks of one Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, of, meaning from the genetic bloodline, descended from Asher. Now, in Acts 13:21, it speaks of a man of Benjamin. Here again, are we talking spiritually or physically? In Romans 1:3, it speaks of the Messiah being made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now let's examine that statement there, and then we'll give you a reference point to think from. It was supposed, the Bible said, that Joseph was the father of the Messiah, as was supposed. Well, we know it's not. We know he wasn't. So then, the woman would have been the flesh part, contributing to the flesh part of the offspring called the Son of God, and then the sperm would have had to come, whatever got her pregnant, and that which was born of her was of God. That's why it was called the Son of God, or the Son of Yahweh, as we like to say. And the same word of, as used in John 8:44, as the one seedliner would claim this one to be spiritual when it states outright flesh. And it's the same word of used again in John 8:44. In Romans 16:10, it speaks of them which were of, and again, we ask if this someone who is a real person, or is it something strangely spiritual? In Romans 16:11, it speaks of them that are of the household of Narcissus. Does the word of here apply to some real person, or do we have to regulate it to something spiritual? In 1 Corinthians 11:12, it says the woman is of the man. Now, when it says in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, we're not talking about a spirit, a little misty spirit that causes everybody to be mean or good. We're talking about a literal offspring in the earth, unleashed upon the earth to bring in perverted evil. Now, if you've got a sheep nature, you don't eat wolves. If you've got a wolf nature, you eat sheep. So then, the evil that is in the wolf is characteristic inbred of a predator, and Satan is depicted as wolf, and his agents as wolves in sheep clothing. So then, what's that telling you? Of the synagogue of Satan, as it states in Revelations 3 and 9, again, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Of the synagogue, meaning of the household. And the Bible said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. John speaking about that he would cut down the seed of the wicked. And in the 41st verse of Matthew chapter 13, it speaks of the angels coming to destroy the wicked or the tares that were sowed into the wheat field. Now, who sowed them into the wheat field? Satan. Satan is the one that sowed the tares among the wheat. Satan sowed Cain among a tare among Abel in the womb of Eve. Both of them came out as fraternal twins. One was good and one was evil. One displayed the characteristics of Satan and the other the characteristics of Almighty Yahweh. And I gave you the challenge last night, and nobody's called me today to remind me that I was wrong or in error. I challenge any preacher, anyone that puts himself up as a teacher, and oh, we got them, and they'll bray like jackasses out on the field when nobody's out there to challenge them. And here I'm giving a invitation for any out there that can prove that Abel or Cain was of the lineage of Adam. I want to see the book, verse, and chapter, and the genealogy of the downlines, and then we'll examine it and see if the Bible will prove that they're of Adam, or whether they are of the serpent, or whether they are of Yahweh. Now, we know that Adam, in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, the Bible says there he knew his wife, and she brought forth in his image. Now, let's go back and look at a very important thing that we got to get in here. Now, those who rail against the truth of the two-seed line seek to discredit the distinction between Cain and Abel by asserting that if Eve bore Cain from Satan, all subsequent offspring born from her womb would carry the genetic blueprint from the father or the contamination of the womb. Thus, all future offspring would be genetically defective as a result. You know what the Bible talks about, a period of cleansing and purification. In this case, Eve was exactly 130 years in purification, not because she had mated with Yahweh. You say, well, Yahweh didn't get a son in the garden. Well, if he didn't get one, he got one out here. If Satan got one in the garden, he's got one out here. He got loose, and he's still loose, and his name is Cain, and his offspring are called Cainites. And it is recorded time after time, place after place, where that the sons of Adam, the offspring of Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, saith, and the offspring up to Noah, and then the destruction of all the Adamites from Adam to Noah, Noah being saved, being righteous in his genetics, and then his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the only one chosen would have been Shem. Shem had a covenant made with him. These others were as white as Noah was. Noah didn't produce all these different races that you see in this earth, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you know that nature would teach you that itself in genetic? There's not one genetic doctor of genetics, those who are trained in the field of genetics, that would argue the case for the stupidness of the world who think that Noah was the father of everything you see here in this earth today. Man, if I'm talking about, you talk about stupid at the level. Most Christians are so dumb and stupid that they just fell off the turnip truck, and the devil knows it, and they display the characteristics of sheep because the Bible will give us the distinction. I'm talking about us Christians as dumb sheep. Now that's our genetic nature characteristic. Well, a wolf is crafty. I mean, when he decides he wants to eat, I mean, he don't go over to the wolf pen and eat a wolf. He goes over and attacks a sheep because he has got a intellect about him that he knows what's for dinner. Most Christians don't care. Now, let's look at the word telegamy. It's the concept of perennial blueprints in the blood of a female who has had a child by one husband. Telegamy. If she subsequently remarries, the children of this second marriage will carry the characteristics of both male mates. That's the theory of telegamy. This theory was first introduced or noted by an English horse breeder who had a mare that had mated with a zebra and was observed to give birth to colts that had the signs of zebra stripes. Even after her first dropping, when she later was mated to purebred stallions, the stripes were still there. Bible teachers who place great confidence in the concept of telegamy have discredited the idea that Cain and Abel were twins sired by different fathers because they argue that all subsequent offspring born to Eve would bear the genetic blueprint of Satan. Now, the concept of telegamy would mean that a white woman who is impregnated by a black male would carry in her blood a genetic perennial blueprint, and the blood and the genes of the baby would be half Negro. And through the placenta cord, which attaches the mother to the baby in her womb, the blood of the black father from the baby would circulate through the entire body system of the white mother. Those who believe in the theory of telegamy claim that once there is a fertilization of the female ovum, or the egg, there is even a future chance in the shape, size, color, and texture of the somatic tissues of the mother to resemble the father. Now, this is a debate. We'll prove that it don't hold any validity on in certain aspects. Some researchers claim that in pregnancy, the rapid cell division promotes the release of greater than normal qualities of the identity patterns of the genetics into the blood from the embryo of the fetus. The first father's sperm loaded up with an embryo blueprint causes subsequent germ cells of the female that he has impregnated to be contaminated or imprinted, and this presence of paternal blueprints in the blood of a female who has had a child by one husband and subsequently remarries would contaminate the children of the second marriage. Thus, any children in her second marriage would carry characteristics of both male mates. Those who believe these things believe that even without impregnation, sexual intercourse with one male leads to an infusion of the sperm into the system of the female, which would then affect her body chemistry toward the first man's genetic trends. Those who have sought the documentation in support of telegamy continues their search, and at this point the research does not appear to be abundant, and many scholars do not believe it is provable. In the case of the Virgin Mary now, let's go to this. Because since Adam had relationships with Eve, immediately following her encounter with the encounter of Satan in the garden, there would be equal or greater possibility that his perennial blueprint to carry forward in future offspring would be more leaning toward Adam, who was compatible with Eve, than would be Satan's. In the case of Cain and Abel, there were two separate eggs, each fertilized by a different father. Now, right there, I want to stop. Now, think about this. If the two seed line theory is correct, there would have been two separate eggs fertilized by a different father, and there is a strong reason to conclude that even if the theory of telegamy were true, Adam's blueprint would prevail over Satan's had it been that Adam was the father of Abel. Well, let's go back and look at something that would even be stronger, that would prevail, that would not take on the characteristics of either Adam or Satan. And that would be Yahweh's sperm himself. You say, oh, Yahweh can't do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then they turn around and confess they believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I repeated last night that Mary was overshadowed with Yahweh. Now, whatever happened there, ever how it happened, I'm just going to leave that up to your own imagination. You can glean from the pregnancy. However, we believe that the blood, and that means that Yahweh has got blood, because it takes blood transfusions or sperm, and that's what blood is, that is placed into the female, and therefore she became pregnant with a blood descendant. In this case, if she became pregnant with Adam's sons, they would have had the characteristics of Adam rather than the serpent. They would have the characteristics of Yahweh rather than Adam. So we introduce a new theory to you, and the third possible thing, that there are three seeds here, not two. Oh my. Three seeds. Have you ever thought of that? Now, you've been a two-seed, all you two-seed liners, set up and take notice. And if Pastor Buddy's wrong here, why don't you just give me a sweet call from Dixie? Or if you're up north of the Mason-Dixon line, all you well-read-bred northerners up there, why don't you give Pastor Buddy a call and straighten me out on this? I need help. How did Yahweh get a seed? If he got cheated in a garden, he didn't get to bring in a seed. Now, we know Adam got one, but the Bible don't tell you that. It says Adam knew Eve after she conceived, I believe. So her ovulation cycle had done been, you know, that had done ceased. And, you know, he could have known her 1,000 times after the 9-month period, and she could have never got pregnant. Because once the ovulation of the ovum stops, or the fertilizer of the sperm is planted within the cycle, then her cycle stops. And then she can't get pregnant until she is cleansed. Well, we're coming back, ladies and gentlemen. We're down to the bottom there. My, how time flies when you're having fun. Pastor Buddy and Shepherd's Call. I'm going to be back in a couple of minutes, folks, with part two of this message. You stay tuned. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening in here to the Shepherd's Call tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we're glad to have you aboard. We're talking about one seed line, two seed line, or three. Well, you know, if we look at seed lines here, we'd have to count three the way I look at it. We got the Son of God, that's Son of Yahweh. The Son of Yahweh was slain from the foundation of the world. No one that will tell us from the foundation who was slain, his name was Abel. The one that slayed him was Cain. 1 John chapter 3, 12 says Cain was of the wicked one. One of Adam. Adam wasn't wicked. Adam was a good man. He could make the tree good and the fruit good and offspring good, or the fruit corrupt and the offspring corrupt. Of John 8:44 is our question here. you are of your father the devil. Now, which part of the word of don't you understand? If you're having problems here, let me remind you, there is no scientific method which can allow us to know how the celestial body of the woman would be affected by the concept such as telegamy. Since she did not know her husband except in a terrestrial body, the perennial blueprint of Adam, not Satan, would be in her body. So we conclude that the concept of telegamy, right or wrong, would have no material influence upon the two seeds of Genesis 3:15. Since Adam had relations with Eve immediately following her encounter with Satan, there would be equal or greater possibility for his perennial blueprint to carry forward in future offspring than Satan's. But if, and we give this if in here to match of, if Abel was the son of God, then he wouldn't have been the son of Adam. So then, if Satan planted the seed and to genetically release his seed from the fifth dimension, his actual genetic production, mixing the sperm with the count of the chromosomes that would be released into the world, and we know that the 46 of the chromosome would release, actually, the father would have 46 chromosomes released into the womb, and 4 and 6 is 10, and 10 reduces to 1, and 1 is whatever seed is planted in that womb in fertilization, then comes out. And we're talking about twins in a sense of identical twins, and we're talking about half identicals. We're talking about fraternals and things of this nature due to sexual intercourse with different ovulation periods, different times and different fathers and things of this nature. So this is a very, 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 very important point to point out. Now, let me give it to you here. This is an actual parade special. This came out in 1978. Garita Bardonium 23, it says, is a medical rarity. 3 years ago, she gave birth out of wedlock to twin boys, Bernit and Hilcolo. One of them were white and the other were black. Yeah, so you see now, even the Parade magazine in 1978, would say that this is a medical rarity, and it's something that we note and take note of, but it is a possibility for two different fathers to father into the earth fraternal twins. Here it is, one black and one white. Recently, in West Germany, she asked two men, one white and the other black, for child support, naming a white German businessman as the father of one child and a black American GI as the father of the other. She explained at a paternity hearing that she had gone to bed with both men on the same day and had become impregnated. She said she didn't understand until she had the children, but she knew that she had gone to bed with both men, one black and one white, and then the evidence was dropped from her womb when she had one black child and one white child. Dr. Conrad Hummel, a well-known German authority on cases of doubtful paternity, confirmed her claim. The ovia were fertilized by the sperm of the two different men, he told the court, who engaged in sexual relations with her probably within a period of a few hours. and we gave you the 72 ovulation cycle, and sometimes it's been proven out even longer, but we keep it within the 72 to be safe. It's a window of opportunity for his the ability of the womb to receive the sperm from these two different males. He took the blood samples from the twins, the mother of the two alleged fathers, and testified that the probability factor of the American GI being the father of the black baby is almost, now they can't say 100%, so they, he gave 99.9% that the black father was the father of the black baby. And the probability of the German white father being the father of the white baby, only 1 point less than the probability of the black. Now, she was advised that she would be better off to sue the German businessman rather than the less affluent GI. And so then she filed suit in Frankfurt demanding child support for her white twin and claiming that she had never gone to bed with anyone except the businessman and the black GI. When other men testified that they too had shared her favors, the court dismissed the case. She subsequently got married recently and gave birth to another set of twins. Both of these were white. Ordinarily, twins are formed under two circumstances. Now, let me give them to you. One is when the mother's ovum or egg is fertilized by sperm of the same father and then divides into two known conditions as mitosis, resulting in identical twins. The other is when the female produces two eggs at the same time, each of which is fertilized, the result being non-identical or better known as fraternal twins. For a woman, however, to have two eggs fertilized by two different lovers on the same day or night is a medical rarity indeed. The case of Miss Bardanium is one for the books, and the story of her twins, each adopted by foster parents in a different city, will undoubtedly make another case for the establishment of Cain and Abel to be fraternal twins. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a rarity. However, in a sense, in the noted history of this happening time after time, one woman giving birth to two different nationalities from her womb is not all that uncommon. It happens. It happens quite often. Now, the circumstances has to be perfect, I agree. But it does happen from time to time, and this is one of the times that it happened in a garden. Although most people believe that Cain was fathered, now this is the popular belief, that Cain was fathered by Abel, or Cain was fathered by Adam, and Adam fathered also Abel. That's the popular one seed line doctrine. And I'm giving you something to look at here. Now, the two-seed line theory is that Satan, the old serpent, the devil, knew Eve. And I agree. I agree with the two-seed line doctrine up to a certain point. But I cannot accept the fact that Adam knew her, and she got pregnant with Adam's seed in the garden. Now, notice this. Let me show you something right here. This is in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, where is Cain mentioned here as the son of Adam? It don't say that. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then men began to actually says to call, but that's a misnomer. They begin to, if you look up that word, call 7121, it is, they begin to profane the name of Yahweh. So, this is the book of the generations of Adam, chapter 5. Now, it gives you an explanation of what we just read in verse 25. God created man in the likeness of God, made he man, male and female, created he them, and he blessed them and called them their name Adam in the day that they were created. Now, verse 3. Now, I want you to show you something here. This is the genealogy downline of Adam. Very important here. This is the first time that Adam's genealogy is discussed or released into Scripture. This is very important for you to go over and read and to study in here. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've spent 40 years studying in here. I ain't saying I know any more than you know if you ain't studied for 2 days. If you have a better understanding than I have, it's took me 40 years to get where I'm at. If you studied for 2 years and you think I'm confused, well, you come over here and let's measure the difference of 38 years between the two study groups and let's see who's got the evidence here. Because I know what you can read on the subject and I know what you can't read. And so then what you can't read has to be readjusted to what you can, and what you can has to mean what it says. Here's what it says. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. This is the first time that Adam has been given credit for creating or having a seed in his likeness. The other two are not mentioned in his likeness, and it's missing here. And let me go back now to verse of chapter 4. Now, I immediately want you to look up here in verse 22. Now, I'm going to get to verse 4, but I want to start at 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil, and know lest he should put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Now, if you look at verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, and upon and every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shall be thy food from the rest of the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between you, serpent. I'm going to put a different kind here, between your seed, Satan. Now, how did the serpent get a seed? Cain was of that wicked one, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Read it for yourself there, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write the book. I'm just trying to believe it here. And of, the word of, we done described it. Of means of genetic offspring, not a spiritual characteristic. Although spiritual characteristic is characteristical of the kind that breeds with the kind, and then you get a production, in a case the female. We're looking at the seed of the serpent, and the works of the serpent will do. The Bible said you either make the tree good, in other words, the genetic tree, the tree that comes from the root of the serpent, examine that, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get nothing but evil. And it has to be a real, live, living seed that Christ looked into the eyes of in John 8:44. He said, I know that your father is the devil, and you are of your father, the devil. I will put enmity between thy seed. That's who he's talking about, the seed of the serpent, the living in flesh, living beings. And her seed, it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, let's go back to verse 22. And he said, they become one of us. Therefore, verse 23, God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Now, up until this point, it don't say that Adam knew Eve other than what it says here. Notice this now. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrows in your conception, and sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desert shall be to your husband, he shall rule over you. Unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife. Hearken to the voice of the wife. Not because he done anything wrong here, ladies and gentlemen, at this point. Because he hearkened you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. Now, if he ate and it was a sexual act here, as we assume, and she had done had sex with Satan, and let's say that somebody else was there, if you can say it was Adam, I'm going to say it was Yahweh, and she was already sealed and her ovulation cycle had done stopped, Adam could have known her after the fact and she still couldn't got pregnant. But notice here, verse 23, and therefore Yahweh drove them out of the garden, drove them out, put him forth out of the garden. Now the sons, the sons were born out of the garden, not in the garden. Well, there's a seed conception in the garden. You would have to admit that she's already pregnant. And here it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. Of course he knew her after she got out of the garden. But she is pregnant. She had seed in her belly because Christ cursed it in the garden. It was cursed. And Adam knew his wife. Here it says, and she conceived, and she did. But the question is, did she conceive of Adam? Of course, you say, well, that's what it says here, Pastor Buddy. But really, if she already conceived in the garden, now she's driven out of the garden, and Adam and her begin to procreate or to have sex for the act of procreation. That's what Adam was hoping it would happen. But it didn't. It don't happen for 130 years. First time you can read that Adam got a son was 130 years after the fact that she came out of the garden. Well, then that denies what it says here in 4 and 1, unless you believe she was already pregnant. Yes, he knew her. I ain't gonna dispute that. Yeah, he knew her. But did she get pregnant by him, or was she already pregnant by them? That's the question. Or him, as the two seed liners say. She got pregnant in the garden with Satan's seed, and she got pregnant with Adam's seed outside the garden. That's two seed liner doctrine. And here, the two seed liners can't read that she got pregnant with Adam's seed until 130 years later. Well, you know she'd done had quite a few babies by that time, because she's already pregnant in the garden, and it only takes 270 days of a complete cycle, 30 days of the month, 3 times 9, 27, 270 days, and she's done having a baby. You see what I'm talking about? And here it says 130 years before Adam knew her, to get a son in his image, in his likeness. And so she'd had to have two seeds pregnant in the garden. One of them was of the wicked one, and the other was a righteous seed, the son of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And I argue again, his name was Abel, and he was of Yahweh, and Yahweh had to get a seed. Now the substitute seed, after the son of God was slain, became Seth. Seth is a replacement, and Yahweh adopted him and told him to walk up right before him and remain pure and clean. And what happened? The sons of Seth, the offspring, began to mix and mingle with the world and the Canaanites again until the flood, Yahweh destroyed them, saved Noah, a righteous man who had not. He kept his bloodline pure. And then we started all over again. You say, well, Noah's the father of all living. Again, poppycock. If Noah was a white man, could he get a black baby and have black children here upon the earth? Is Noah the father of all the black race? No, he ain't. Is Noah the father of all the Asiatics, the slant-eyed Asiatics, and the Oriental flavor? No, he ain't. What about all these other mixtures between the two, or throw in the third, the white race? Or throw in the fourth, the Cain race, and now we've met. And now you mix all that blood up, and you know what you got? You got Babylon. That's what you got. Confusion. The Bible tells you in that 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus for a woman not to lay with a beast of the field. What's that? It's got hands. It can pray. It can put on sackcloth and ashes, according to Jonah 3:6. What kind of person's that? Said, don't lay with it. Well, ain't no way a donkey can get a woman pregnant. Sure, I wasn't talking about a donkey or a dog or a horse. We done give you the characteristics of the flavor and disproved the theories of taking on the characteristic. We're talking about purification of the womb here, 130 years. 130 years represents 13. 3 and 1 is 4. That's the rest period. And Adam, being an 8-day man, was twice the period. And so it's a double witness of rest. If you're going to enter into his rest, you better keep yourself unspotted from the world and not in the sedge of nature you see, because if you do, you are a goner. The Bible said the only sin that is not forgiven is fornication. That's race mixing, ladies and gentlemen. Once you create something that's out of its genetic originality, you've created something that's hybrid, and God will kill it. Now, what he does with the original races is his business. It ain't mine. Bible commands me not to mix and mingle with anything, especially with Canaanites. Pastor Buddy the Shepherd's calling. I got to get off from here. The time is coming on. I've enjoyed it. I'm going to finish it up perhaps tomorrow night when we get into the third part of the series. Hope you join us. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. I pray for your understanding. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. If you'd like to write me tonight, simply write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'll take your calls at the studio here. I'm here live and in person. This is the second day of the month of July, so I'm live. You can call me here. I'm live in person. You can get a hold of me. You can argue with me if you want to. You can counsel me if you want to. You can talk to me if you want to. You can show me things if you want to. Or you can let me explain what I'm talking about here if you'd like to know. So, we can reason together. Come, let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Let's talk about it, if you'd like to talk about it. Just give me a call. Praise Yahweh. Now, if you'd like to email Pastor Buddy, you can do so by emailing PastorBuddy at www.gap.net. That's PastorBuddy at www.gap.net. That's on the addresses you'll need there. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Zip 37824. Area code 423-626-2172. Or you can email me, buddy at www.gap.net. Let's talk about it. We'll see you tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, on True 2. If you'd like to call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, tonight, he's standing by to take your call, 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack. 1-888-281-7320. These men that supply you with Miracle 2, and it keeps the shepherd call on the air. I'd appreciate if you'll call and tell them that Pastor Buddy sent you. And do me a favor, if you enjoy the truth, and you want the truth and nothing but the truth, then call my sponsors and let them know that you appreciate hearing the shepherd's call and you'd like to keep Pastor Buddy on the air. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night on Truth Radio on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'll see you Wednesday night on WWCR 12.160. Yahweh bless you until then.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise.